Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Gus Warland back with you Monday afternoon. My name's Elliot Lovejoy. This afternoon, gentlemen, the great man Mick Molloy is back with Team Triple M. I reckon Dell's going to finally meet his match when they clash in two strong hearts, and he'll also be naming his new favourite Sydney local. Jude Bolton, how are you, legend?
Very good, Elliot. Dell, mate, massive show ahead. We'll talk a bit of NFL. We're going to have Benny Graham on the show. But, gee, it broke as soon as we left last night, the studio. We saw the fight of the century up at Noosa. But the news, Dell, today, we know where Stephen Crichton's heading. Tell us where.
Yeah, he's certainly heading to the Bulldogs. I thought the Dolphins might have just got something.
Good mail, Dell. Well done.
Well, I just thought, speaking of Wayne Bennett, I just thought they might have got him. But, look, they've got plenty of money there, the Bulldogs. And he's just signed a four-year deal, $3.3 million. And I've got to tell you, mate, he wants to play fullback, so I reckon that's what they're doing. That's what they're positioning for.
Where are the Doggies getting all this money, mate?
Well, they've cut some players, and to be honest, if you look at their roster, they haven't got a lot of superstars on their books. Or, you know, they signed Kikio and Reed Marnie and that, and then obviously Burton. But there's not too much else outside that, let's be honest.
But Sereldo, he's bringing that team together, and Phil Gould's doing an amazing job, isn't he?
Well, it's quite smart from Phil Gould, because Phil Gould, obviously, you know, he wanted Sereldo. Sereldo's got a five-year deal, and with that five-year deal, he knows the players that are coming off, and then also players trust. Once you're a player coach, trust is massive in any sort of code, and that's what they're doing here.
I know the Doggies fans are big on Jake Avarillo, though, and he was a kid that probably had a breakout season in the one last year.
Yeah, look, mate, Jake Avarillo's a good player, but he's a bit of a utility. He can play anywhere. But let me tell you, mate, if you get a chance to buy someone like Crichton, and remember that try he scored, that was when it was in lockdown or whatever against CS. That was a big play, mate. That's clutch moment.
All right, well, to kick things off, up next, the skipper of the Sydney Thunder there in action against the Sixers.
Next guest is a cricketing all-rounder. He plays for New South Wales and the Sydney Thunder in the BBL. He's had a hit with Mike Hussey, Shane Watson and Brendan McCullum. So if you're ever having a net session with him, don't complain that it's like too fast or difficult or something. Right now he's keeping the captaincy warm while Uzi's away on national duty. Please welcome Chris Green.
Well, Uzi's actually made the change to the Heat, but outside of that, correct. Chris Green, the skipper of the Sydney Thunder, they take on the Sixers this weekend. Chris, you can dead bat this like Raul Dravid if you like, but there's still a lot of people asking what happened with you and Matt Wade against the Hurricanes the other day.
I'd love to give you a full insight into it, but I'll give it the dead bat, unfortunately, lads. Oh, it was just classic on-field competitiveness, going at each other, trying to each of us get ourselves in the game. So there's nothing much to it.
Chris, how do you sum up the season for the Thunder this year? It's been a bit of all sorts at various stages.
Yeah, it's probably the best way to put it. A bit of a roller coaster journey. When we've been good, we've been really good, and we've gone on a hot run and knocked off the Perth Scorchers away and beat the Hurricanes really well. And I think when we've been poor, we've been really poor, particularly when it comes to our batting side of things. We've just, you know, consistently haven't scored enough runs at times, and it's something we want to rectify at the back end. The good thing is we've got three games left and a good opportunity to get back in that peak zone of the roller coaster, if I continue to use that analogy. And our bowling's been consistent throughout. We've just been struggling trying to defend 100 or 110 or 130 with the ball, which is in T20 cricket on good wickets, it's way under par.
Well, we all love signing contracts, but you signed one of the biggest contracts in the history. 6 years at the Thunder there. You think that's good for individual players in general or not?
Yeah, look, it gave me the longevity in the game, and there was a lot of uncertainty that had gone through that period. I've got a year left on it, so Dell, I'd be looking to try and lock in a new one. But, through that was COVID. I had my bowling ban as well, and if I was coming off contract at that time and was maybe looking to try and earn more money and sign shorter term deals, then you never know, I could have been spat out the wrong end of it. So for me, it was an opportunity to sign with a club that I enjoy playing for, representing, and you know, lock in 5-6 years as a professional cricketer, where in professional sport, and we all know this, is you don't have that much certainty at time. And so it was a no-brainer for me to lock in a long period of time playing the game that I love for the club that I love to represent.
Chris, have you been given much feedback from the Aussie selectors on what more you need to do? I don't want to blow smoke up your wahoo, but across the world playing T20, mate, you're economy rate 7 with the ball, which is unheard of. You've dominated in the Caribbean Premier League as well. Have they told you you're that close, or is there communication at all?
Yeah, I probably need to kneecap Ashton Agar and Adam Zampa in a car park, if I'm honest. They're going well, and the team's going well after, you know, World Cup success in the UAE, and those guys are performing well in that position. I've been on standby for a couple of tours, but the nature of spinners is you very rarely see them get injured, touch wood. And, you know, they're doing really well in that setup. And Glenn Maxwell started bowling a lot more, even though he's injured at the moment. So there's a lot of competition for spots. And fortunately for me, there's opportunity to continue to play and push my case. And, you know, that'd be a dream come true for me if that opportunity pops up. But for now, it's head down, bum up, and try and contribute to the Thunder, which I've been able to do consistently this season, and hopefully we can get into finals and have a red hot crack at it, because I think we've got nothing to lose from here on in.
Oh, Chris, can't wait to watch you. The Sydney Thunder and the Sydney Sixers, don't miss the biggest game of the summer, the Sydney Smash. You can get your tickets at tickettech.com.au. That's on Saturday night. Chris Green, the superstar and captain of the Thunder, thanks for jumping on Triple M's Rush Hour, the Savvy.
No worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
Cheers, Chris. Gentlemen, the name Tom Brady is synonymous with excellence across the world. He's a gentleman that's 45, still playing in the NFL. And we'd love to hear from the great listeners of the Rush Hour, the Savvy, 133353. The oldest people on your team, whether it's social netball, whatever it is, because if Tom Brady, let's say he joins the Las Vegas Raiders next season, which they reckon odds on chance, he'll be 46 going into the next season. Now, the next oldest bloke they have on that team, I was doing some digging before, is 34. So he will be 12 years the senior of anyone else. And you've got 21-year-old kids in there as well.
But there's players who started after him, have had Hall of Fame careers and gone into the Hall of Fame, and he's still playing. It's unbelievable the longevity that he's had. But, yeah, we want to hear those stories, the local sports or your team someone's just been in there. And are they at that stage where Brady is almost at, where it is a little bit of almost a tap on the shoulder?
I was going to say, look, I don't know what more he wants to do. I mean, he had a beautiful wife at home, and his wife just said, look, no more football, and he just goes, see you later. Mate, at some stage, I know you love football, but surely not that much, Tom.
We had a bloke, we played third string rugby in Niagara Falls in Canada, and there was a bloke in our team called Bruce. And no one knew his real age, just that he'd been around the club for 40 plus years and he still played. And he played on the wing. He would fold blokes in half. And when we got on the Terps one night and we asked him, and he didn't say a word, he just pulled out his driver's license. And I'll never forget, we added up, he was 72, still playing rugby union and still a much better player than I was.
Smashing guys.
Yeah. So I reckon it does go one of two ways. You got hanger honorers, the ones that can't let go, but you got ones that can compete at a decent level for forever, defeating Father Time.
Yep. Exactly. I played some social footy during the break, and I was playing with a guy, and he was a big fella, and he sort of chased after me, and he sort of lunged and did his hammy, and I reckon like we had to pretty much carry him off and help him off, but I reckon he's torn the hammy off the bone. So it's the risk reward. You still want to be involved. You still want to play.
Yeah, of course.
Gee, you can just hurt yourself.
Coach. just get on the sideline and just be waterboy or something.
We want to learn about the oldest person on your team, the Tom Brady effect, you know, the hanger-onerer, whether they're still killing it or maybe for some of these people, Jude, it's time to give them the tap on the shoulder.
Boys, hold it. Like, you talk about some of the greats of Australian sport and obviously world sport. We forgot about LeBron James.
Oh, he could be playing with his son soon.
Yes. Like, 38, still killing it.
Wait, he doesn't need a tap on the shoulder.
That's right. Exactly. True. Yeah. Let's go to Richard. How are you, Richard?
How you going, guys?
Not too bad. Welcome to the Rush Hour, mate. Tell us about the oldest person on your team.
Well, with second division baseball, where the average age is 25, 27, around there.
Yep.
And then there's me, who's 60.
Oh, yes. Oh,
hey, yes. Fantastic, Richard. Yes. Do you still mix it with those youngsters?
It's probably my eyes, so it's probably going, so it's probably time for me to become an umpire.
How's the batting average, mate? Are they playing safe with you on first base or what?
Mate, I'm doing okay at the moment.
Fantastic.
Mate, let's go to Pete there. Pete, who's the oldest person on your team? And, you know, do they need a tap on the shoulder or what?
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good, nice to good, Pete.
Not, it's not a team sport, but I'm nominating my wife for a bit of it. She's a bit of a nutter, mate. She's 62. She does Brazilian jiu-jitsu probably 3 to 4 days a week. And she also does close quarter combat, which is like a Philippine style martial arts. And she'll be going for a black belt this year.
We saw a bit of that close quarter combat at Noosa as well last night.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, Pete. Let's go to Tony. How are you?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Who's the oldest person on your team?
Well, mine's not a team. I was in a band. I was the youngest. I was 35 or 6. Yeah. And the oldest guy played the bongos. He was 72. You couldn't hear him. And every now and again, we picked a couple of songs where we'd just stop and just hope that he'd come in right on the beat, you know. There was a couple of 60-year-olds, all grey, bald, fat.
Sensational.
Fair to say we had no groupies.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you see the Stones are still releasing music to late 70s. You know,
playing three-hour shows.
Unbelievable. Let's go to Paul. Paul, tell us about the oldest person in your team. How we going, gentlemen? Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon to you, mate.
Yeah, mate,
we got part of the Coaldale Ways football club down at Thrull there, mate. Mm. We've got down in Coaldale, we've got about 100-something over 35, 45 players, and we've got a gentleman who's 72, 73 years old, still kicking on and goes all right.
Sensational, mate. How's the physio looking after all those over 35s?
It's good business, mate. Everybody who wants to join, mate. Definitely a great contact, mate. Come play, you'll get plenty of business through us. But, yeah, plenty of injuries, mate. You can never have enough people on your team, that's for sure. But this guy, he's a legend, and I believe he's got it like an 11-year-old and 10-year-old and a 2-year-old, mate, just which are his kids.
Amazing.
Outstanding. Hey, good on you, Paul. Have a great arvo, mate.
For 3 decades, our next guest has been part of the Triple M furniture. If that furniture was a vinyl couch that needed hosing down every Friday after drinks.
National radio.
He's radio royalty from the D-Gen. Martin Malloy, Tough Love, right up until Malloy last year.
I prefer a 3-egg omelette or 2 ostrich.
Back at the M's to pick up his bar fridge, raid the vending machine, and to do Triple M Sydney breakfast with MG. Please welcome back to Triple M, Mickey Malloy.
Oh, how good. Mick Malloy back on deck.
Present.
Survived 4 days with Mark Guy. Congratulations.
In the same room. Yep. We keep the door open, though, just in case there's any foul odours. We get away with it. It's great. Thank you for having me on your show. Del, thanks for dressing up. You've really made an effort.
It's all stops, isn't it?
I can't tell you. Describe your outfit. What are you wearing?
It's I don't know what these colour shorts are, but it's Australian Open time, and obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of Australian Open. I'm obviously looking a treat at the moment. I've been training in the off-season. Short shorts and, you know, when you're a dual national, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's raining in Sydney today, but it's always sleepless.
You're moving house, I hear. Is that right?
Yes. I've just moved to Miller's Point. So
I wouldn't be naming that. You're in a witness protection scheme. I wouldn't be letting people know where you are.
Oh, he was driving in today. He had his head out of the car. There's stuff in the back. Look out. There was a lot happening.
Oh, there's a lot happening. But that's
removalists are expensive, though, aren't they?
I don't care. I'm hands on, mate. That's the kind of guy I am.
You look like the Beverly Hillbillies, I reckon.
It's a bit like that.
Yes.
How's the first few days with MG?
Great, enjoying it. Super bloke. Great team. Great to be in Sydney. You know, it's the first time I've had any sustained work. Normally it's hit and run. You're up and then you're back. When I get to Sydney Airport on the way home, it's usually like the evacuation of Saigon. Get me a chopper. Get me anything. Just get me out of here. But to be up here working for the first time for a long time is great.
You found a few locals. I mean, the Thai massage. You've already been there. What else have you got your hands amongst?
I have. Well, I've found 3 bars, 2 restaurants, all within a 100-meter radius of where I'm living. So I'm doing this. Walking distance is a big thing for me. Back in Melbourne, I bought my current house and the previous house I owned before that had to be walking distance to the MCG because that way. And I remember my current house, 646 steps to the MCG. 1,450 home.
at the end of a day is how I do it.
Well, we know you love a beer like most of us.
I do.
I like a few too many too. You got a pub down there in Melbourne?
I do. I own a pub and a brewery.
Oh, my goodness. Why?
Save me a lot of money.
Who's pulling the beers while you're up here?
I'm working both sides of the bar. And when I bought a pub, all my friends go, that's like letting the mice run the cheese factory. There go the profits, straight off the bat.
Now, MG's set in his ways a bit. What have you noticed so far?
Mate, look, he's not exactly what I'd call a doyen of the fashion industry. Hawaiian shirts are big, shorts are big, Vegemite and cheese sandwiches, at least two of. Big, and a superstar bloke. I've never spent you know, like you, Del, when you came through the studio or State of Origin or there's a big occasion, we used to love having you blokes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's as much as I knew about you guys, but he's a big sweetheart. He's a big softy,
big heart,
isn't he?
Well, I know you love your Tigers, but surely, you know, I'm a Bronco, I'm a Dragon.
Yeah.
Are you a Storm? Are you a Storm supporter or what are you doing?
So I once joined the Melbourne Storm as a member, and I'll tell you what happened. So the year was 2010 and my team, Richmond, were eight losses, no wins.
Yeah.
And I went, bugger this. I went across the road. I bought a Melbourne Storm membership who were 8 wins, no losses. I went, bingo. Later that week, Melbourne Storm was stripped of all their points in a salary cap.
That's right.
Debacle. And now I support two teams, 8 rounds in, that have got no friggin' wins. So I suppose I am a Storm, but I'm open to offers if you've got any... thing and
his tigers have pilfered the Giants this year, so they're in the mix this year.
We are back.
I've got to ask you, the AFL grand final winner. We love our AFL and rugby league here, and obviously Jude.
Absolutely,
Jude Swanee's so embarrassing in the AFL grand final.
Let's not talk about that.
You think it would have been better for Collingwood just to get there?
Yeah, I do. I remember we don't want to talk too much AFL, but when Richmond beat GWS, they've been no good ever since. And I think the same now as Swanee's, a long way back.
They were embarrassing, weren't they?
Hey, they'll be all right this year.
I tell you what was embarrassing, Michael Clarke's performance.
Oh, yeah.
Can I bring that? Have you seen that? I mean, look, put your hands up. We've all been there. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, man, this will shock you. I've been in trouble a few times.
But that's a long way back, I would have thought, from...
Is he doing tours of India? Is there any flights available? What's happening?
Can I just say, did he do his hamstring?
I think he did.
How do you do your hamstring in a fight?
We've got Australian captain, former Australian captain Steve Smith on our show.
Sensation.
Tomorrow morning, and because we've been playing this all week, of him playing the guitar. Have you heard this?
Oh, my goodness.
It's so bad, it's bad.
It is. Have a listen.
I've seen you with your hair down and your bare feet.
I'd rather be in a fight in a park in Noosa.
He's got the real India approach, hasn't he? Yeah.
So it got us talking on the breakfast show about sportsmen who refused to stay in their lane and did a bit of singing. And, Del, your name came up.
What?
On a couple of occasions. Firstly, there was an ad for some pie. Is it Paddy's? What is it?
Paddy's
Market.
Let's have a guess. Come on, Wendell. One more. Brothers, sisters, mums and daddies.
Great supporters, Paddy's, all of ours.
We love them.
But we just sit there and go, how many hands did that go through to get the all clear?
No one stepped in and went, are we sure this is a good idea?
Do we want to just do one more round? Let's just maybe sync him up a little bit more.
And to be fair, unlike you, Jude, I went out there and see the people because I'm the people's champ, mate, you know.
And it's not your only hit out. Of course, there was the Masked Singer. We also had a crack, I think.
Time flies by and you see what I mean.
Still butchering it.
Catch Mick and MG in the morning from 6 a.m. tomorrow right here on Triple M or via the Listener app. Mick Malloy, you're a legend, mate. We appreciate you sticking around.
Bloody early, 6 o'clock, I've got to say.
It throws the body clock, surely.
I'm just getting home in time. I've got no top on. I'm in my shorts. I've been involved in a fight with Carl. We were talking during the break. Jude, you've got skin in the game here. You know... a couple of these characters very well. Carl and
Anthony Bell. I did the Sydney to Hobart a number of years ago. Carl was on board with us. There was Larry Emder, Jess Watson.
Well, geez, imagine if that ship went down.
No Carl.
You mentioned the Sydney to Hobart. I want to talk one of my favourite ever Triple M promotions. This was for senior to Hobart, and it was the year everything went pear-shaped. Remember, it was carnage. Triple M were running these promotions. One lucky prize winner gets to crew on a Sydney to Hobart maxi yacht. So anyway, everything's gone pear-shaped. There's carnage everywhere. There's boats snapped in half. You see this footage of a boat limping into Eden Harbour with its
broken mast.
And hardened seamen, like they're white. And up the back is a little girl in a Triple M T-shirt.
Oh, what?
In the fetal position. She's never been seen since. She's weaving baskets in the country, apparently. So well done, Triple M, for once again thinking through a fantastic promotion for everyone involved.
Well, now it's time for one of our favourite segments. We're going to get you two together. Let's do it. All right, the way this works, Nick, is I'm just going to roll with it. I'll give you a little practice. So I throw out a category.
Yeah, sure.
And you two, you're using just the connected minds that you have. You know, so I've got to say the same answer to get a point. So say if this was a category, name a Kardashian. I'd go 3, 2, 1.
Chloe.
So you're already miles and worlds apart.
Chloe, I like Chloe.
We'll have one of each.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So
I think I'm more chance than you.
You wouldn't get a point for that. Okay, here we go.
Do you think she is O.J. Simpson's daughter?
No.
Wow.
We are not a percent. Let's see if we can... She's much bigger than the other girls. Right, she's putting it out there.
Okay, here we go. First category. Name a chip flavour in 3, 2, 1.
Barbecue.
What did you say?
Salt.
Who goes with salt?
Plain.
You can see the level we're dealing with, mate.
Plain.
It's barbecue every time. Do you know chicken's not chicken?
No, I didn't know.
I can't believe this. They call it chicken, but it's not chicken. It's some kind of fake.
Yeah.
And don't mess with the chicken.
Okay.
Refocus you two. Here we go. Name something you would find behind a bar in 3, 2, 1.
Beer. Me.
What?
Me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a publican.
He's a publican.
Beer.
Yeah. Beer is the obvious one.
I was going to go with topless barmaid, but I thought that's too obvious. Yeah. You would have had that.
We've all been there too,
So I'll tell you what, if you're playing along at home, look out.
How many points are we?
Zero from two.
Can I check my buzzer? Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Name a type of spread on bread in 3, 2, 1.
Nutella. Nutella, my boys, I've got 10-year-old boys and they love Nutella.
Vegemite, it's so Australian.
Oh my goodness.
Nutella,
just because you're looking at me thinking chocolate Nutella, it's so edible. I'd spread Big Del on my sandwich.
Yeah, you're making my tummy rumble as we speak.
Well, 0-3.
Can we get one, please?
Come on, Mick.
Okay, here we go. Name something you wear on summer holidays in 3, 2, 1.
Singly bags.
Oh my goodness. Someone help me, please.
What did you say?
This guy. Singlet. On holiday.
His singlet and his speedos. Lolly bags. There you go.
Mick, we regularly play this with rugby league players.
Yeah.
And they are far more in tune than what you two are at the moment. So come on.
One more. Give us one
last. Last one. Okay. Name something you suck in 3, 2, 1.
Thumb.
We couldn't. Mate, I can't even.
This guy.
I couldn't think of anything I could say out loud.
Yeah, I know.
Is what happened there.
Well, if that is not the biggest debacle.
Well, people suck their thumbs.
Well, that thumb wouldn't have been in my top five.
Yeah, I know. But
it would have gone cheese stick, lollipop.
No.
Pretzel.
Honestly. He's getting up too early, this guy. I love him, but.
Mate, look out.
I'll see you on the front bar when I get in.
I will. What was our total?
0-5, mate.
We'd love to have you on. We're doing national shows, all sports, and we'd love to have you on board.
Your producer actually called me, so I said, look, the Big Del doesn't mind doing it. For the right price, I'm there.
Will you sing?
Yeah. Of course I will.
Mate. Good luck tomorrow, mate.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Good to have you back.
Boys, well, Jacinda Ardern has announced that she's stepping down from New Zealand as the Prime Minister. She's been an incredible global leader.
She's been awesome.
It gives us an opportunity to throw up some nominations. You know, who should we put forward?
Right.
Well, we don't get a say, but why can't we look to who could take over the role? And I was just thinking, do we, you know, pay homage to Gussie Warland and his hobbit feet and put Peter Jackson from The Lord of the Rings forward?
Oh, yeah, Peter Jackson's got to be in the mix. Mate, he's a game changer there.
Del, what about some of the sports people? Like, you look at Dan Carter, Richie McCaw, Sonny Bill Williams. Who would you put forward out of there?
Oh, look, you know, Dan Carter, everyone loves Dan Carter. Sonny's not bad, but Richie McCaw, everybody loves Richie McCaw. And also, he's got his pilot's license and he's just like the people's champ.
He is.
So, Richie McCaw for me.
Hey, I tell you what, I did love Flight of the Conchords and Jermaine and Brett. Bit of this stuff. It's business. It's
business time. So, you want them as co-pilots?
I think something like that.
Okay, sure.
We'll work that out. Okay. Mate, you could throw Israel Adesanya in there, Keith Urban, even Xena the Warrior Princess.
Oh, yes. Okay, not a real person, but character, yes, I understand what you're saying.
What's a real name?
But there can be only one.
Right. Yeah.
Let's throw him back there, Russell Crowe.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
So just confirming, you want to get rid of Rusty after all the good he's done for Australia, you're handing him back because his last movie was no good, the poker one, I'm saying?
No good. It wasn't good.
It wasn't.
Imagine that being first speech.
And Wendell, you are a big, cuddly teddy bear. However, you've been fighting some battle this week. And, mate, I'll be honest, I didn't think this was one that you'd win.
Yeah, you're right. So I've got to tell you this story. So, you know, around Christmas, like we all do, we do some Christmas shopping and stuff, and you know, I had all my bills paid up, and then all of a sudden, around Boxing Day and that, this direct debit starts going off my card, and I was going, okay, well, that's not me, because it was a whatever Telstra one or whatever. And then I came in and went to report it. They said, look, we're full today, come back and see us. And I said, yeah, okay, no problems. I said, this is happening. So I go back, just before I go back, in the next 2 days, another charge comes off it.
Hang on, you didn't even put a stop on the card for a bit.
No, I didn't.
I mean, just for our listeners, you only just got digital banking last year or something, didn't it?
So I did, but I just thought, I got that one, I thought I'd be okay? So, obviously, you know, I'm not quite a digital. So I went back in the Commonwealth Bank. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said, sorry, Commonwealth Bank, could be a sponsor. And then I just said, hey, listen, there's three now going off my card. I didn't have these charges, you know, and I didn't do them. I didn't use the card for this. So I went to Telstra first because they were directly coming from Telstra. So I got a bit of luck, went down yesterday, and I had a win. So now it's going to be reversed. I get my money back. But that's why I don't trust cards and I don't trust...
Do they know how you got scared? Or, like, how did you get your credit card details taken?
No, they don't. They don't know. And I don't care. I just want my money back because I like my money.
It's some of those dodgy websites you've been on or not?
I don't go on those websites, but this is why I don't like it.
People are getting scammed all across Australia. It is hard. I'm pretty gullible as well.
So I went to Telstra, and so when they looked it up, they had someone else's number... And they had obviously my number sort of in their account, so it just didn't match up. And I just went, that's not my number, but that's my, you know.
I actually, full credit to you, Del, and with the deepest respect, I want to pay a bit of credit to you because I watched you try and work out a bank card having dinner with you the other night, and it was honestly like working a toddler on the toilet for the first time. The fact that you managed to read through a bank statement and see the wrong charges being made, I don't know if we got a round of applause, but absolutely necessary.
Yeah, but that's why I couldn't use my card because I didn't actually put the card onto the phones for stuff. So.
Baby steps, mate. We'll teach you how to wallet a different day.
That's why I say, guys, cash is king.
It's a cashy, the great one. What did you do when a customer didn't pay?
Oh, yeah.
Did you take matters into your own hands? We'd love to hear some stories, but first let's speak to Colin Schumark. Now, Colin, you're a snake catcher, and you certainly took some desperate measures when chasing a red-belly black.
I did, boys, I did.
Tell us a story, Colin. What happened? So you've gone and caught this red-belly black snake, and what happened to the customer?
So normally over the phone I agree to the price, as you would. They agree. Turned up to the house and... the guy looked a bit like he had a few beers and all that sort of stuff, which is fine. And, red-belly black in his kitchen. And I caught the snake, put it in the bag, and then he started. Like, he's like, this should be free.
Oh.
The account should pay for this, sort of stuff. And he's on the other side of his kitchen bench. So, basically I was like, oh, it's safe enough. I'm just going to make a point here. And I let the snake back out again. I didn't throw the snake on the ground. I just let it back, open the bag, started to come out again. And he just, yeah, just lost his mind and got up on the kitchen bench and said he's going to call the police. And then I caught the snake again and he paid me. So lesson learned for that guy.
Exactly.
Mate, I want to know, especially with this weather, you know, how many calls do you get for snakes around the town and city and that?
So where I live in Lake Macquarie, on a really hot day and night, because it goes into the night as well, you can get 10 calls a day easy.
Oh, wow.
Does this happen often, Colin? I would imagine not. Red-bellied black, one of the most venomous creatures on the planet.
Yeah, that's the first and last I've ever had. So, that was the first and last. So, yeah, like I said, I always, like any tradie does, because like, I'm a tradie, I'm an electrician as well. Oh, you agree on a price, you do the job, you get paid. So,
how many times have you been bitten, Colin?
Yes.
And King Browns or anything like that?
No, mate, nothing like that. I've been bitten by a few pythons. I was rescuing one right before a thunderstorm and the lightning was coming. It was in a banana tree, so I had to quickly grab the snake. And as I pulled it out of the tree, it spun around and bit me right on my bottom. So a bit of first aid on the old buttocks and I was fine. So,
Colin, I want to ask, like, at what stage do you think, you know what, I want to be a snake catcher? There's a lot of things you can do. Like, you just said there, electrician, you know, you can be a plumber or something. But, mate, catching snakes, like, what made you want to do that?
Mate, just education of people. Like, you hear a lot, only good snakes are dead snake and all that sort of stuff. And I've always had reptiles as pets growing up. And, because the amount of the time you go out there, the snake's already gone, but you spend time educating people on how to prepare their yard so they don't have snakes. Or if you've caught the snake, you spend a lot of time calming the person down so they don't burn their house down or anything like that because they think there's more snakes and all that sort of stuff, so.
All right. Hey, Colin, thanks for jumping on the Savvy, mate. We appreciate chatting with you.
Make sure you pay.
No dramas.
Make sure you pay.
Colin's going to throw it.
It's like crime. Doesn't pay.
We want to know, what did you do when a customer didn't pay?
Let's go to Darren. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Darren.
How you going, boys?
Not too bad, mate. What did you do when a customer didn't pay?
Well, boys, I was a lawn contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a call out of the blue, never spoke to this person. Yeah, can you mow me lawn? Yep, no worries. 3 or 4 weeks went on and they hadn't paid, so I had 3 or 4 weeks worth of lawn clippings from other customers and I thought I'd just go and empty them all around the yard.
3 or 4 weeks?
Rank.
Oh, yeah, mouldy. Oh, my God. Good work, Darren.
Oh, we'll get the next caller there, Steve. What did you do when a customer didn't pay, mate?
Yeah, g'day, mate. This happened years and years ago now when I was a young guy as an apprentice glazer.
Oh, yep.
I went and did a job for this guy, and it cost him $11. That's how long ago it was. And turned around in front of his family and said, I'm not paying you because you took too long and you didn't do a good enough job.
What'd you do?
I said, come on, mate. You know, I'm a second-year apprentice. You know, $11.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and said, smile, and said, what are you going to do about it? So I said, mate, you don't pay me, I will come back and you'll see what I'm going to do about it.
Oh.
So I waited till he wasn't around, got a bag full of ball bearings, a slingshot, walked around his house and took out every window to our place.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's great. Good on you, Steve.
Revenge. That's very nice.
133353, of course, on the back of Colin Schumark, is a snake catcher in New South Wales. It was called to a gig. A red-bellied black snake was there. The customer refused to pay, so once he had the snake bagged up, he just let it straight back out. Let's go to Mick. Tell us your yarn, mate. What happened when a customer didn't pay?
G'day, boys. How we going?
Good, Mick.
Mate, so I used to install roller doors, and I got a phone call to do a private job, so I went out there, measured them up, and they weren't a standard size, so I had to get them made up, and there was 3 roller doors, 3 remote controls. We're looking at about $4,000 worth of gear, and 6 weeks later, still hadn't been paid. So I ring this bloke, and he goes, yeah, pay you next week. So I thought, bugger you, mate. So I sat down the road, waited for him to go to work, and I broke into their garage, and I took the doors out and remote controls, so when they got home, there was nothing there, mate.
Take them back out.
Oh, that's too good. Well, Dave, here we go, mate. What have you done there to a customer didn't pay, mate?
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Dave. Mate.
Yeah, look, many years ago when I was a young bloke starting out my landscape business, had a fella I'd done a few jobs for. He was a real estate agent. You know, he used to do houses up and flip them, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything had gone well for a while until about the third job for him. And for some reason, because I was young probably, he jacked up and said, I'm going to take $700 off this bill.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, it was only a $1,500 job.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I said, well, what's that for? And he said, I've got more work for you. You know, you can give me a bit of a break. you know, on the promise of more work. I said, mate, don't work like that, mate.
Doesn't work like that.
And I said to him, I said, no, you either pay me or that's it. I'm not doing any more work for you. And I said, I'll be sending you the bill. He said, no, I'm not paying it. All right. So I did the right thing legally. The three bills sent, letter of demand, the whole lot. He just stonewalled it. I thought, righto. So off to the chip, get the chipper loaded up with compost, wet it all up, three bags of blood and bone in it.
Oh, the stinking blood and bone.
Yep, back it up after midnight behind his red Mercedes at his place. Tip it up all over the boot, all behind him. He would have had to shovel it out like he'd been snowed in the morning. And it, yeah.
Good wow. on you, Dave.
Well done, Dave. Our listeners are the best.
Sensational.
A great callers. Lesson. Do not piss off tradies and pay your bills.
We're pretty sure our next guest is the only person in the history of humanity to play both AFL and make the jump to the NFL. He's played for the Geelong Cats, where he's a Hall of Famer, but also the Jets, Saints, Cardinals, and Detroit Lions. Detroit? Well, we'll ask him. He's the only Aussie to captain both an AFL and NFL side and play in the biggest games in two coats. Wow, playing in coats is really hard. What, was it like trench coats or what kind of coat? Coats, right. Please welcome Ben Graham.
I mean, also worth mentioning, one of the co-hosts on the NFL Armchair Experts with 7 Absolutely. Plus, superstar of a couple of codes. First up, Benny, the tough questions. Tom Brady, 45. Is he done after the loss for the Bucks the other day?
Oh, g'day, guys. Thanks for having me on. The Tom Brady saga goes on. Yes, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. He's a legend. He's got his 7 Super Bowl rings. But I thought he might have retired as a Patriot, but he proved me wrong once, and I'm sure he'll prove me wrong again. But after everything he went through in the off-season to commit to football over his family, I think that he will play on, but it won't be with the Buccaneers. I think there'll be a mutual parting. They've got 26 free agents. I think they need to reset the Bucs, so the Tom Brady saga will roll on. Fascinating to think of where he'll land, but 45, I think he'll want to win a championship or at least compete for a championship. So he'll have a few clubs to choose from when the time's right.
Benny, it's due. I mean, just the divisional round set, and there's just some tantalising matchups. Who are you most looking forward to watching?
Well, some massive games. Let's just quickly touch on the wild card round, though. What the great results we saw then. But last year in the divisional round, every single game came down to the last play. Total combined 15 points separated all the teams. Hopefully we'll have that sort of action and excitement this weekend. I think the Chiefs are wrapped that they're playing the Jaguars instead of the Chargers. The Jags come back, obviously, Trevor Lawrence threw 4 first-half interceptions and then 4 touchdowns in the second half. I think the Chiefs will win that game. An NFC East matchup. Remember, the NFC East were the worst division in football last year. They are represented by three teams.
Of the 4, it's great.
The Eagles host the Giants, Jalen Hurts back. The Giants played almost perfect football last week to beat the Vikings, but I think the Eagles will be too good at home. The Bills and Bengals will be an emotional matchup, given that that game was cancelled 3 weeks ago. This one's in Buffalo. This is going to be a great game. Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen. Oh, it could go either way. We know the run the Bengals went on last year, but I think the Bills will be just too good. And the Cowboys and 49ers, well, what a story those two teams have been. The Cowboys, on their body of work, deserve their spot in the divisional round. And the 49ers are arguably the best team in the NFC right now, 11 straight. And that rookie, Brock Purdy, 6-0 starter, keeps getting better and better. This is going to be a great divisional round of matchups.
Benny, one thing I've loved watching Australian talent go over there and do some good stuff, Jordan Mailata, mate, what a wonderful story that young man is.
Oh, great story. Such a great kid. Got to meet him in LA last year in Super Bowl week. He's had such a fantastic year on the offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, as has Aaron Sipos, the punter for the Eagles. We've also got an Aussie punter for the 49ers as well in Mitch Wishnowsky. But Jordan Mailata, so impactful on that offensive line, not only protecting Jalen Hurts when he sits in the pocket, but creating the running lanes for Jalen and Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. Such a great story. And he signed that big contract. So he's only 25, so he'll plenty of years left in the league. And hopefully for his sake, they can get the ultimate success.
Boys, I was really lucky back in the day. I went over to the US with Adam Goods, and Benny actually hosted us when he was still playing at the New York Jets over there and got to take us through the facility. Yeah. It was unbelievable back then, mate. But can you tell the story about one of the big offensive linesmen not even actually speaking to you, just grunting early on until you sort of earned his respect?
That's exactly the way it works. So at the start of training camp, there's 90 players on the roster. These veterans don't want to know the rookies until they've actually made the team a month later. But I was looking for a rental, and one of the boys said, just go and ask D-Rob. He's got 13 cars. He'll loan you a car. So I naively went over and asked him if I could borrow one, and, yeah, he grunted at me with a frown look on his face. I looked around. The boys were rolling around the floor because they know that he was not going to have any time for me whatsoever. So you know what I did? I went to Walmart and I bought a $50 bike and rode around the suburbs looking for a rental property. But it was good to have you guys over there.
Amazing.
That facility's changed, Jude. They've moved over to New Jersey. It's a $120 million training facility.
Wow.
Crazy.
Hey, Benny, we'll let you go in a second. Just before we do, we do love a Cinderella story, and you're hearing your Myelatas. Just quickly back to Brock Purdy. So this kid, he's now the starting quarterback at the 49ers. They're called Mr. Irrelevant. He's the very last pick of the draft. Are you finding it hard not to cheer for this young kid?
Oh, absolutely. And he's only had the six starts. He's 6-0. He's in the conversation for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He started as the third-string quarterback. We've seen, like, Zach Wilson at the New York Jets, drafted second overall, lose his job and potentially his spot on the roster, where a guy comes in, last pick of the draft, he sits behind Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, finally gets his opportunity. Yes, they're a good football team. Christian McCaffrey's been a great trade. Deebo Samuel's a great player. George Kittle, their defense led by Nick Bosa. But what he's done is he's not only just played his part, managing the game, not turning the ball over, but he's actually helping them win.
Mastered two unbelievably difficult codes, the AFL and the NFL. We appreciate your insight this RV on Triple M's Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.